interesting things in the last meetings we've had, reminiscing on what he said. He said in verse 20 here, we took a look at that. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. And we're considering, if the servant is not greater than his Lord, if Jesus is Lord, then we should expect to be like him, to follow him, to be treated like him, and to do what he did, because he is Lord.
Right.
And today I want to look at something that goes right along with this, and it's what actually makes Jesus end up saying this part right here. So we're going to take a look at verse 18 and verse 19. John chapter 15. Verse 18 and verse 19 says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I ask Brother Joe, could you pray for us this morning?
Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and the freedom we have to meet and worship you and hear your word. We pray you give us even the right words, give the right message, and speak to our hearts, open our hearts, and hear your words in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, Jesus says something here that's quite interesting. I mean, it's shocking. You read this and look at what he says. He says that you are not of the world. Do you believe that? You believe that you are not of the world? This is what Jesus says. And if you can just remember what Jesus Christ has done. When Jesus Christ saved you from your sins, there was a transformation. Something happened. You became a new creature. You were born again. You are now not like you were before. He says, you are not of the world.
Amen.
Wow. Now that sounds like crazy talk. You're not of the world. And the thing is that what we have to see is that Christ has actually transformed us. And so he says, the world hated me, right? And so the world is going to hate you.
Right.
And he tells us why. Because you're not of the world, because I'm not of the world.
Right. Amen.
See, this is the thing is, Jesus Christ has actually transformed our life. And we do not belong to the world anymore. We belong to His kingdom. And what did He say? He said, my kingdom is not of this world.
Right.
Now we have been translated to His kingdom. We belong to Him and we are not of this world anymore.
Amen.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, this is talking about the value systems of the world. This is talking about the world and its systems and its thinking and the way it's gone. Guess what? The world has gone away from God. The world, the humanity has gone away from God and followed perversity. It's followed evil. It's followed wickedness. Sin has completely filled the world.
Right.
And it's not of God. And God has taken us out of that.
Amen.
Let's get a sample of what the world is full of. Romans chapter 1. We'll see. Look at this. This is what he's saying, that we do not belong to the world. This is not us anymore. We do not follow this. We do not follow the world. We are not of the world anymore. Romans chapter 1. And boy, we could read a lot of it, but we'll just start at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. Listen, this is a sample taste of what the world is. This is the world. And Jesus says, you are not of the world. Go back to John chapter 17. Jesus here now is praying. And John chapter 17, verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Listen, we are not of the world. This is something we need to understand. Jesus made clear. We are not of the world. That means something. In other words, that should manifest itself in our lives. When he says you're not of the world, you know, that we should be able to notice. There should be a difference. That's why Jesus says things like, you are the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
But what happens? What happens when the salt loses its flavor? It becomes good for nothing.
Yeah.
And it's a sad thing, but it looks like a lot of Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, have lost their savor and are good for nothing. There's no difference. Nobody knows. We look just like the world. We act just like the world. We think just like the world, and it should not be that way.
Amen.
Jesus is not of this world, and he translated us into his kingdom, and we are not of this world, and it should manifest in our life. We're going to go to 1 John. Now, we're going to go to 1 John. Chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
He says some hard things here. He says, love not the world. Oh, it's okay to love the world. No, he says, love not the world. Well, but a little bit. I mean, it's not too bad. I mean, how bad can it be? He says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He's not playing around here. He's actually saying something really that you should think about and consider. He says, love not the world.
Amen.
Now, this has to do with the mind. This has to do with the heart, right? This isn't just, we try to put all these rules and try to make all these things and don't do this and don't do that. But it goes even deeper than that. He says, don't love it.
Yeah.
I think the thing is we got to recognize that Christianity is about God changing our heart, which changes our life.
Amen.
We can walk around and not do this and not do that and not do that, but where is your heart?
Amen.
Are you still just desiring these things? Are you still just battling these things within yourselves? Are you still wanting to be like the world? Well, we shouldn't be. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. No, it does. That's why we get the scriptures telling us constantly what we need to do. The Bible's going to tell us where we need to be. It's going to tell us how we are and what we need to do. It's going to give us the guide. He's going to tell us, it's going to show us the truth.
Amen.
And the truth is that if we're loving the world, we're far from being what we should be.
Yeah.
And something needs to change.
Amen.
We are not of this world. And we should not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. He says, the lust of the flesh, all those fleshly desires. See, that's of the world. That's what the world will teach us. That's what the world's values are. The world's value is about self-indulgence. It's about self-gratification. It's about if the flesh wants it, the flesh goes for it, and the flesh takes it. And this is one thing that the Bible says, it's not of God.
Right.
He says, this is not of the Father. In fact, God hates this. And we, as Christians, should we not also hate these things?
Yeah.
Tell you, immorality and sexual perversion should not be mentioned among Christians, is how Paul puts it. This isn't something that we should just be living and freely doing and participating in. This should be far from Christians. And we should be desiring to run away from it. Not to have a heart that's fully set on it. We should love not the world.
Amen.
The lusts of the flesh and fornication and adultery and all that comes with that, we should be running from it. Because this is the world's thinking. This is the world's mentality. And we are not of the world.
Amen.
We should run from it.
Amen.
The lusts of the eyes.
Amen.
And covetousness.
Right. Amen.
This is of the world.
Amen.
And it says it is not of the Father. Now this is not easy, but it's the Word of God. It's what God actually says. This is what the Bible says, and we must allow it to do something in our hearts.
Amen.
We must not resist it. We don't want to have to change it. Oh, well, I know it says that, but it doesn't really mean that. Oh, I know it says that, but that's a little extreme. I know it says that, but, stop putting buts about it. It's what the Word says.
Amen.
He tells us, He commands us not to love the world.
Yeah.
And the lusts of the eyes is worldly. And He doesn't want us to participate in it.
Amen.
He doesn't want our eyes to be set on the lusts that we can get out of the things we want, the things we desire. And boy, the love of money is one of those things that will creep up and take a Christian and hold him and bound him up.
Right.
He says, in the pride of life. See, I think he's explaining this is what the world is. This is the world, and this is the thinking of the world and all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This self-elevation and self-importance, this is not of God. When you catch yourself always thinking about yourself, this is not of God. This is not of the Father. This is worldly thinking.
Yeah. Amen.
He says, but it is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. You know how to know that it's not of God? It's not going to last.
Right. Amen.
If you catch yourself always, constantly thinking about things, you wake up in the morning and you catch yourself, you're thinking about this and thinking about that, and you're thinking about all these things that are just going to perish. What are you thinking about?
Right.
This is worldly. We need to set our eyes beyond this. Because we're not of the world.
Amen.
And so we should change our heart. Change the way our mind is. We should not love the things that the world loves. Look, it's not talking about, you know, creation. We should love creation. We should enjoy the things that God has made and walk out and see a sunset and just think, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not saying that there's nothing, like Christians can't ever enjoy anything. Christians can't ever have any pleasure. Christians can't, no, you can enjoy things. You can enjoy things that God created to be enjoyed.
Yeah.
In fact, you can enjoy sex the right way, the way God made it to be, in marriage. It's holy. It's undefiled. The bed is right if you're doing it the correct way.
Amen.
But see, the world has just made everything wicked and twisted it all up and perverted the things that God made to be right and enjoyed and pleasing, and they've just made it all to their own pleasure and likes and their satisfaction. It's all about self-gratification, and it's not about pleasing God, and it's become wrong.
Amen.
And we should be fleeing from that. We should be trying to abstaining from that. We should have a different way of thinking. Because we're not of the world.
Amen.
We've been changed. We've been transformed. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. I tell you, you read the Bible and these men were strong that wrote the Bible. These men were serious. And they said some hard things. They weren't being all sugar, you know, Cody, cotton candy, preachers. They were telling you real things that you needed to hear.
Yeah.
And they weren't being nice about it.
Right.
Look at what he says here. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. That's kind of hard. I mean, well, you know, hey, when you come to talk to somebody, you know, be real nice, you know, kind of get your way in there and start off with something real nice and, you know, bring them in and then get them going, you know. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Right directly to you. What? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We need to let these words actually sink into our brain and think about them. Let's consider them. Do we say we want to believe God? Well, we're going to have to believe what he says. And he says that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Listen, there's some things that the world does that God hates.
Amen.
And we've just been accustomed to and participate in them. And God is saying, I hate it. I think we need to reconsider a lot of
Amen.
Just what we participate in.
Yeah.
We need to reconsider where our heart is and what our heart loves and what our heart does. I think we should learn to love the things God loves and hate the things God hates.
Amen.
And that's going to be hard.
Yeah.
That's hard. Why is that hard? Well, because when you start hating the things God hates, you learn quickly that the things you're going to hate is the things that you are. You have to hate yourself.
Amen.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what Jesus says that is required for you to be his disciple. You're going to have to hate your own life.
Amen.
Hate your own life? This pride of life is something that God hates.
Amen.
And it should change us.
Yeah.
When we believe in Jesus Christ, it transforms us. But there's a battle, obviously. The battle is recognizable, right? And it's this whole battle. See, the world is pulling you one way when God is pulling you the other way.
Amen.
Your flesh is pulling you one way when the Spirit is pulling you the other way. And there's this battle that's trying to battle for your mind. And we need to learn how to have the mind of Christ and be transformed.
Amen.
That's why he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, this is the reality. It's that Christians, we need to allow God to change our mind.
Right, amen.
Being a follower of Christ, being a disciple of Christ means something. Means we allow Him to be the one that leads and we'll be the one that follows. And we will desire to be like Him. That means you and I, we're gonna change.
Amen.
That means we're gonna align our priorities to what He sees as a priority. And that change, we all have to change. We all have to change our minds to be able to put on His mind. And that change is going to have to come in your life sooner or later. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. Says, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He had delivered us. He's delivered us from this present evil world. That means we need to have escaped it. We need to have put it off. We need to have been translated to some other place. And yet we're still hanging on to this evil present world. Why is that?
Yeah.
We're like Lot's wife. We're running away. We're escaping. We're on the road to salvation. And yet we're looking back. We're wanting something that's behind.
Wow. Yeah.
What's going on?
Amen.
We should not love the world. Amen. Neither the things of the world. We need to love what God loves.
Amen.
We need to allow God to change our minds. We go to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm telling you, this is consistent. Read the Bible, read the Gospels, and just let Christ's words, let what He says actually impact our lives.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. When you read the Bible to just let the Bible speak to you, you read Jesus' words just to let His words speak to you, it's gonna make an impact. You're gonna be like, whoa, what is He asking of me?
Yeah.
It's true, it's gonna happen. Our problem is probably we constantly maybe read and we're trying, maybe thinking about somebody else. That's a too bad, because we're skipping over a step.
Wow.
It's not right away, think about this other person and how they have to change and what they need to do.
Right.
No.
Amen.
It's about what God wants to do with you and how He wants to change you in your life. And if we just allow God to speak to us, we're gonna see that God has got a lot of things He wants to change in us.
Right.
He says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. This goes completely against the world's philosophy. This is against what the world will teach you. This is loving not the world, but loving what God loves. This is not being part of the world, but being part of Christ's heavenly kingdom. This is what it looks like. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Yeah.
Oh, how much treasure are we laying up for ourselves? And that's an important thing, right? God isn't against things. Things, you know, a lot of money, that's not really a problem. The problem is we're laying things up for ourselves.
Yeah.
You see that? He says, lay not treasures up for yourselves.
Right.
And the focus of our life is all about ourselves and ourselves and ourselves. And we're trying to build and build and build for us. And God is saying, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Christ's constant message throughout the Gospels was, stop focusing on this world. Stop focusing on this flesh. Stop focusing on all these carnal things. You're constantly, your mind is all about the physical, the physical, the physical. And Christ is always taking us back to think about eternity.
Yeah.
All the time. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Yeah.
Stop thinking about these physical things. Oh, that stuff that enters the man, the stuff you eat, the stuff you put in your mouth, that's not what defiles a man. It's what comes out of the heart, because you don't understand. You're looking at all these things physically, but God is looking at them spiritually and eternally, and He's saying, you need to change your focus.
Amen.
Stop focusing on the physical. Focus on the spiritual.
Amen.
And you want to know where your treasure, where your treasure is, it's where your heart is also. Your treasure in your heart, it's going to manifest itself.
Right.
You just think about your bank account statement and find out where all your money has gone. And you'll find out where your heart is.
Yeah.
You'll find it. Think about where your time has gone. And you'll find out where your heart is. Now this is what Jesus said. It's not just what I'm saying. It's what Jesus said. And we all have to take His words and analyze our lives and see if God wants to change us. And if He does want to change us, we got to allow Him to change us.
Yeah, amen.
Because that's what it means to be His follower. That's what it means to be a Christian. Allow Him to change us. Allow our life to be molded by His life.
Amen.
Luke chapter 12. I mean, He doesn't get away from this. Jesus continually comes back to this point often, often, often. He says in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Let me mark. Luke chapter 12. And He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Verse 20, He said, but God saith unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, the focus of God was to shift our minds, to shift our thinkings, not to think like the world anymore, but to think like God thinks.
Amen.
And you'll find this consistently throughout the scriptures. Just read 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 6. Just read how important He tells us it is to flee from covetousness. Run away from covetousness. Don't let that money take your heart.
Amen.
But it's easy to let it happen.
Right.
If we're letting the world influence our thoughts. And that's why we need to be reminded constantly. That's why we need to be in the scriptures constantly. Because the scriptures shows us the right way of thinking. To think like God and not to think like the world. But the world is going to push their agenda on us all the time. And we need to let the scriptures teach us how to think like God.
Yeah, amen.
You just see it in the life of someone like Judas Iscariot. There it is, Jesus. He's about to be offered up in sacrifice. And here comes Mary, and she breaks the alabaster box and she pours it on His head and she washes His feet with her hair. And it says in John, it says that Judas Iscariot said, could not this have been sold?
Yeah.
For how much? Oh man, we could have sold it for a lot. Oh, for the poor. But He tells us in John, He says He wasn't saying this because of any other reason than that He was a thief.
Right.
He was a thief. And He wanted the money.
Yeah.
And you know what happened? He went and betrayed Jesus. He went and asked the Pharisees what they would give Him, and they gave Him 30 pieces of silver. And it says, from that time, He looked for a time to betray Jesus.
Yeah.
For money? Really? I mean, yeah, he might have been disappointed in Jesus for other things, and you know, Jesus wasn't doing what he was expecting, and then, but he got covetous, and he wanted money, and then he just finally got to the point where he just said, I can't take it anymore. That didn't last long. He threw that money right back, right after he realized what he had done. Because that's the reality. You give your life for money, you sell your soul, you sell your life for money, you're going to realize soon it was not worth it.
Yeah.
But boy, money has a way of pulling us, of taking our heart. It really does. That's why Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve money.
Yeah.
You cannot serve it and serve God.
Right.
It's going to take your heart. It's going to take all of you. And we need to be careful, beware of these things. That's what Jesus says. His word was beware. You think, oh, I can take it, I can play with it, I'm fine, it's not going to affect me, it's not that big of a deal. Jesus said, beware.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Well, let's start at verse 1. He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were even by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Amen.
And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see the transformation that he says has taken place?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Do you see it in your life?
Amen.
Was it there a while back and then you don't see it that much anymore? What's happening? Listen, there has been a change. If you have been born again, then Christ has taken you from death unto life.
Amen.
Now let's live that way.
Amen.
Let's love not the world, because we are not of the world. And if you love the world, you're actually at enmity with God. See, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Like I said, there is a clear difference. There is a pool. God has made it a defining point. He said these are opposites. The world and me. And he's expecting us to choose him over the world. And it's something we have to do. He says in chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He, again, be careful. Beware. You gotta be careful that you're not being spoiled by the philosophy of men, by the tradition of men, by the things and the rudiments and the ways and the traditions and the things that dictate the world's way of moving. And not of Christ. Not after Christ. Don't be pulled by the world. Be pulled by Christ. Because these are different. One teaches us to walk by sight. And the other teaches us to walk by faith. You can distinguish. It's a clear distinction. You can know whether you're walking after God or whether you're walking after the world, because he makes it clear. One's walking after sight and one's walking after faith. One's causing you to be humble, and the other one's causing you to be proud. It's a clear distinction. It's easy to recognize. It's easy to see. All we have to do is allow God's Word to analyze us. Because that's what it does. The Word is a sharp, powerful, two-edged sword that can divide us under and cut you up. If you let it. You let it, it'll show you. Because one will cause you to set your affections upon things that are above. The other, set your affection upon things of the earth. Where is your heart? The one is looking at things that are unseen and eternal. The other teaches you to look at things that are temporal and seen. One tells us to have our conversation, our behavior, be without covetousness. And the other tells us to amass an abundance of possessions. One teaches us to be careful for nothing, to not be anxious. And the other one is teaching us to just be full of anxiety. One teaches us to be content with such things as you have. The other one, to enlarge your desires endlessly. One teaches us to be ready to distribute, to communicate, to give, to provide, to help others. And the other one teaches us to withhold and take. One teaches us to look at the things of others. The other one teaches us to look at our own things. One seeks the happiness in the Creator. The other one seeks happiness in the creation. God said, I am thy exceeding great reward. That's where your reward is. That's where your happiness lies. That's where your joy is found. But if you're looking for your joy in creation and in other things, then you have missed the point. You're following the world's teachings, not God's teachings. One seeks to please God while the other seeks to please himself. We're there in Colossians. Let's look at that. Colossians chapter 3. It's clear. And it's hard. But he tells us clearly what it should look like. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Think about it. This is a question. Think about it. He's telling you something. Allow the scripture to tell you something. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Amen. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Put an end to these things. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things. You put it off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with the deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on therefore, in verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. It is not hard to know who you're walking after. It is not hard to know if you're walking after the world or if you're walking after God. It's not hard to recognize if you're walking after yourself or if you're walking after Christ. It's not hard to tell. You can think about it, you can meditate upon it, and you can figure out where and how you're walking. And it's up to us individually to change that. To allow the Word of God to say, hey, this is not how I want you to walk. Change.
Right.
This is not how you should be. Change. Paul tells us, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Look, this is how you should be. This is how you should be. It's clear. We know it.
Amen.
And we need to allow God to do it.
Right.
If we're sons of God, we're led by the Spirit.
Amen.
And what Jesus said, my words are spirit and are life. We got to allow His Word to move us, to change us.
Amen.
We've got to allow Him to have a work done in our life.
Amen.
Allow Him to change.
Amen.
And you know, the way He talks here isn't just something that is difficult for one or another person. Listen, this is the Christian life. And it should be that there is a struggle. It should not be where you're comfortable in your sin.
Right.
If you're comfortable in your sin, that's where you need to be very worried. Very worried as to if you believe in Jesus Christ. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, there should be something pulling the other direction.
Right.
When you're in sin, there should be something telling you that is wrong and you know it. And you need to get out of it. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to have.
Amen.
Because the Spirit is going to tell you, you're wrong.
Amen. That's right.
And listen, Paul had this struggle. Paul knew there were things that he had in him that he didn't want to do, and it was in him, and the things he wanted to do, and he knew this struggle. He tells us in Galatians about the struggle between the flesh and the Spirit. This is true of a Christian. There should be a struggle because your flesh and the world is going to be trying to pull you somewhere. But Christ's prayer is that you'd be away from evil, that you'd be kept from evil, that you wouldn't go into evil, that you would be able to stand and stand firm, that you would be able to walk after His way. And so we need to allow the Spirit of God to work in us and not follow the world.
Amen.
The love of the world is not of the Father. It's clearly put. It's no hesitation. In fact, He gets so hard to say, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And we do not want to partake of that. And so there should be a struggle within your mind when you are running off to do evil and live like the world. Something needs to be pulling you and saying, this is wrong. And that Word of God should be guiding you. The Word of God should be telling you, hey, you're wrong. And we, as Christians, followers of Christ, should be willing to submit to His Word and to say, okay, I've had enough. And that's what we see in epistle after epistle after epistle. It is, you've had enough. Have you not had enough? You've had enough. It's enough living like we lived in time past. We've been delivered and rescued from that. We don't have to live like that anymore. Because we're not of the world. Because Christ was not of the world. And now we are in Christ. He is in us. So let's not live after the world.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to take a few minutes break, and then we'll be back at 11 o'clock.